This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome to Heart and Soul with me, Lauren Booth, your place to reflect. The visitor is here. He brings us precious gifts. And while here, we feel he has changed us, beautified our lives. My first guest in this series is Sheikh Omar Suleiman. His journey of seeking knowledge started in 2000 in the United Arab Emirates, where he studied at the feet of prestigious scholars such as Sheikh Tariq Ibn Raja. Sheikh Omar has a bachelor's degree in Islamic studies, a master's degree in Islamic finance, and is currently pursuing a PhD in Islamic studies. He previously served as an imam in New Orleans for 6 years and has since dedicated himself to full-time teaching. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You are our first excellent guest, but the visitor I was talking about in my introduction is, of course, Ramadan. We are starting our journey again. We are full of good intentions, and we don't want to be counted as those who merely get a bit grumpy and hungry. How do we make the most of this month, Sheikh?
Well, first and foremost, you have a great visitor coming by, you get yourself ready by anticipating that visitor and recognizing the value of that visitor. And the Prophet ﷺ taught us to make the most of the month of Sha'ban before Ramadan so that we could get excited about it and prepare ourselves for it. So we fast the month of Sha'ban, we reacquaint ourselves with the Quran, especially if we haven't been acquainted with it for a long time. And we basically try to, make sure that when Ramadan comes, we're not practicing and training in the first week. We don't want to lose the first week getting used to it.
Mm.
And so, it's important for us to prepare ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, so that by the time Ramadan comes, we're already ready to receive it. And the same way that you prepare your house for a guest, you don't wait for the guest to come to start cleaning up and to start making it ready for the guest. You get it ready before the guest comes. And depending on how noble the guest is, is the intensity to which you will clean up your house and decorate it and adorn it for that guest. So the way that we prepare ourselves for Ramadan is a great indicator of how we actually view Ramadan.
If we are starting at the very beginning and we've rushed through the year and here is Ramadan the first day again, how do we cope with that change then?
Well, the first thing is that, what we learn is that we have to be sure not to allow ourselves to despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is so merciful that in our most, vulnerable moments, He sees us turning to Him and He forgives us. And so, Ramadan provides so many opportunities that if you slacked off before it started, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving. And so you get yourself ready by, trying to seek that forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do the things that certainly should have been done before, but start doing what you can, inshallah, to absorb the month of Ramadan. It'll definitely be a little harder to get that start going, but do acquaint yourself with the Quran. Do start, inshallah. Don't despair. You still have so many gifts that are left within the month. And a lot of times what happens is that once Ramadan comes in, we say, oh my God, I haven't prepared for it. But that doesn't mean that you wait for next year to prepare for it. That's still, you don't know if this will be your last Ramadan or not. And so you get into the mood, inshallah, as much as you can. And a lot of times what I've noted, and I think a lot of people would have experienced this, it only takes one special night. Sometimes it really hits you that first night of Taraweeh. Sometimes it really hits you that first day of fasting. But it really takes one moment to just unlock the blessing that you're in, and then you kind of wake up and you realize, you know, how special this month is. And so what I tell people is that many of the hadiths, you know, that are common to us are actually not necessarily authentic. And so they sort of allow us to slack off, or they allow us to look for one particular, you know, part of Ramadan and so on and so forth. So, for example, the hadith of it's frequently quoted about the first 10 days being mercy, the second 10
yes.
days being forgiveness. The first
okay,
10 days.
I've heard that.
But it's actually not. Yeah, it's actually not an authentic hadith. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has, on every single night of Ramadan, this is an authentic narration, he said that Allah looks to his creation on every single night of Ramadan. At the breaking of the fast, Allah frees a group of people from hellfire. So you really have to get it one day in Ramadan where it's going to be that special day of fasting where you're going to have done everything right, in the sense that you would have avoided your backbiting, you would have avoided saying things that would have nullified your fast in a spiritual sense. You would have truly perfected the fast in a physical sense by not nullifying it by the things that are clearly nullifiers of the fast. You would have read Quran that day. You would have remembered Allah that day. You would have had a moment that day where you reflected. Perhaps that day you provided charity to someone, or you helped someone break their fast, you fed somebody else. Every single night in Ramadan, there are winners. Mm-hmm. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah looks to this creation and that particular night. And so every day the believer is asking himself, is today the day? Can today be the day? And you just have to get it one day in Ramadan, and you got it, inshallah. I mean, that's what we seek, that special moment. And Ramadan happens to be the season that prepares us for that special moment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where everything can turn around in our lives.
I want to ask you personally, how will you be changing your routine this month? You are already, mashallah, involved in teaching the Quran and advising students in this positive way. But you have to make changes too. Can I ask what you'll be doing?
Yeah, so personally, I have quite a hectic travel schedule. I tend to take it pretty easy in Ramadan. You know, if we read about the pious predecessors, one of the things that's common across the board is that when Ramadan would come, they would really focus themselves on their, you know, on personally developing themselves and on reading the Quran and on engaging in the night prayer. So Ramadan in the early generations of Islam, what it looked like was every single person was in the zone. You know, all the real study circles stopped, and all the intensified academic efforts and so on and so forth, all that stopped, and it was really a time to just experience everything that you were learning throughout the entire year. Mm. And so, you know, personally for me, what I try to do in Ramadan is I try to focus on myself as much as I can. And that's something that this is actually the least busy time of the year for me in terms of work, but it's the busiest time of the year for me, inshallah ta'ala, in terms of my own self. It's a yearly camp, right? And those last 10 days, I frequently would get invited to different places, but alhamdulillah, you know, last couple of years I've had the blessing to actually, you know, commit myself to i'tikaf, to seclusion in the mosque. And it's been absolutely phenomenal. It's been the recharge that I was looking for as an activist, as a teacher. Every single year I realized, I said, you know what, I need to take this time for myself. So Ramadan for me is personally the time where I kind of settle down, and just focus on myself.
So this is an introverted month then, really, isn't it? It is a time to... you know, we do group efforts during the year. Islam is a social construct. It really affects everybody's lives and our interactions. But right now, we need to focus on our connection with Allah. Give us the first step of waking up. No, the first step of even suhoor. And can you talk us through a day in getting it right?
Absolutely. So, you know, typically speaking, the Prophet ﷺ constantly speaks to us about this idea of starting the day right. You know, making sure that you start off with the right mindset, with the right mentality. Ramadan indeed is an introverted month, but subhanAllah, what we find is that when the souls are connected to Allah individually, then collectively, society sees a betterment. And so when people are engaged in this coming together, charity is intensified, the people's hearts are open to give more. It is the month of charity. It's the month in which people really engage themselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it betters the community altogether. So the community is brought together on that basis. So when people are coming together for iftar, or tarawih, there was a whole day where they were engaged with Allah in a way that they're typically not engaged with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Prophet ﷺ frequently addresses this idea of getting it right. He says to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that every night the shaitan would try to tie knots on a person's head, right? He ties knots on a person's head. And when you wake up and you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you do wudu and you pray, you've untied those knots. So you're not allowing him to keep you subdued. He also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that every day when a person goes to sleep, an angel comes to him and says to him, ikhtim bi khayr, which means end your night well, end your night well. And a shaitan comes to him and says to him, end your night in evil, end your night in evil. And he said that if a person ends their night with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the angel would spend the night at that person's side, making dua for them, supplicating for them throughout the night. And when the person wakes up, the angel would say, iftah bi khayr, which means start your day well. And a shaitan would say, start your day evil. But if you started well, the angel would stay with you throughout the entire day. And if you started in an evil way, the shaitan would stay with you throughout the entire day. So what that means is, starting the day with the remembrance of Allah is extremely important. So you start in Ramadan with suhoor. Suhoor is actually, it actually refers to the time as opposed to the meal. The time right before Fajr is called as-sahar. Allah says, وَبِالْ أَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. He describes the believers as during that time, the last hour of the night, that's when people are seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The believers are constantly seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you wake up at that time, and the Prophet ﷺ said that the angels send their prayers upon the people that wake up for suhoor. So the suhoor is a blessed meal. But the idea of the suhoor is that if you accustom yourself in Ramadan to waking up every single day before Fajr to feed your body, to prepare yourself for the day, the hope is that after Ramadan, you will continue to wake up before Fajr to feed your soul before the start of the day, to equip yourself spiritually.
Now that is brilliant. That is brilliant. I mean, that already is an inner and outer dimension, a practical practice for the rest of the year.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if a person was just to wake up a few minutes before Fajr every single night and to just make istighfar, to seek forgiveness, as Allah mentions to us in the Quran, the time where most people are passed out sleeping, that's when you really pronounce yourself in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sight of God, and you say, I'm here, O Allah, I'm still up, I'm still seeking your forgiveness. Then what fasting is doing, what the month of Ramadan is doing, is that it's making that time period of the night, which is typically a time that you sleep, a very important part of your day. Because you have to wake up. It's essential for you to wake up to feed yourself.
Here's a question for you. How important is the is it to make the intention to fast before going to sleep after suhoor? Before suhoor. I get confused.
Yeah, so the scholars differ about what the intention means in regards to Ramadan. And the strongest opinion seems to be that if a person makes the intention to fast the entire month of Ramadan, then they don't have to renew that intention every single night. I mean, it's something that's clear, obviously, that every night when you're going to sleep, you're intending to fast the next day, unless something happens otherwise. So if a person goes into Ramadan with the intention to fast all 29 or 30 days, and, you know, basically, unless there's a hindrance to stop me from the next day, then inshallah ta'ala, it's there. But clearly, every night you're going to sleep with a mindset and with an intention that, you know, I'm going to wake up for suhoor, I'm going to hopefully, you know, start my fast the right way, inshallah. And
okay.
That's, yeah.
Okay, so
that's pretty much how we get it going. Inshallah, we start with that, mm-hmm. with that evening meal, and then you know we make sure we pray Fajr on time, and that's really the key here is that you know you start with Allah with the mandatory deeds. So a person should try to perfect their mandatory deeds, the obligatory deeds with Allah during Ramadan and get their prayers done on time. And that in and of itself can be an accomplishment. Really, a person renewing that commitment just to pray on time can be such an accomplishment.
True.
And so, you know, you start with Suhoor, you pray Fajr on time, and then you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning as well, I mean, which is the habit of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ said, that if a person wakes up with the remembrance of Allah, أَصْبَحَ نَشِيطًا طَيِّبَ النَّفْسِ, he wakes up energetic and in good spirits. And if he, you know, wakes up late and lazy and sluggish, then أَصْبَحَ كَسْلَانًا خَبِيثًا النَّفْسِ, which means that he'll be sluggish for the entire day and his soul will be in a bad state.
We're going to take a break there for a few moments, and we'll be right back after this.
Muhammad alayhi salam sat quietly in the evening. His companion asked, "O beautiful man, why do you sit here grieving? My ummah, those who follow me, the future of their faith makes me worry till I cry. My brothers and sisters in Islam, will they be strong and carry on after I die?" The Prophet stood silently and prayed, his beard becoming wet as he cried for all his fears. "Oh Allah, don't let this nation fade," as he pleaded through the night, the earth around him filled with tears. "My ummah, those who follow me, the future of their faith makes me worry till I cry. My brothers and sisters in Islam, will they be strong and carry on after I die?" La 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la. A stillness fell over the land. Companions gathered near to where the Prophet lay, as Aisha, his wife, held tight to his hand. The Prophet spoke again before he passed away. "My ummah, those who follow me, the future of their faith makes me worry till I cry. My brothers and sisters in Islam, will they be strong and carry on after I die?" "My ummah, those who follow me, the future of their faith makes me worry till I cry. My brothers and sisters in Islam, will they be strong and carry on after I die?" "Believers, brothers and sisters in Islam, will we be strong and carry on until we die?"
You're listening to Heart and Soul on QF Radio with me, Lauren Booth. Sharing his gems of knowledge with us about Ramadan today is Sheikh Umar Sulaiman. We had started our day before the break. We had not messed up our suhoor, because there's always two ways of doing things. You can get up 5 minutes before eating, shove things in your mouth, burp, go back, fall into unconsciousness. Or get up gradually, praise Allah, make istighfar, have a sensible, quiet meal with your family, praise Allah, go to sleep prepared for the next day. When you wake up, say on a working day during a fast, take us through how to maximize this month.
So the month of Ramadan is the month of Quran. It's the month of charity. It's month of the remembrance of Allah. And what that means is you're in a mindset now once Ramadan has started, that you want to maximize each and every single deed within the month of Ramadan. So you want to, what you want to do, though, is you want to inculcate habits into your daily regimen now,
mm-hmm.
that you'll be able to take with you outside of Ramadan. So you want to explore the daily routines, the daily remembrances of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One book that I recommend to everyone is Fortress of the Muslim. You can find it online. You can find it anywhere. It's a small book, which sort of goes through the daily du'as, the daily supplications of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want to start to implement those daily du'as, so that you can make sure that you're able to take those outside of Ramadan as well, because the Prophet says, "Ahabb al-amali ila Allah adwamuha wa inqal," the most beloved of deeds to Allah are the ones that are consistent, even if they're small. So you want to try to bring in habits in your life during Ramadan that you'll be able to carry with you outside of Ramadan.
That's great. That is a great tip. Sorry about that, because I'm holding the Fortress of the Muslim here. Fortification of Muslim through Remembrance and Supplication for English speakers. And, you know, if you're an English speaker, you can struggle to learn them. Any little tips, especially in Ramadan, how we can do this? What's the best, most effective way for a short one? Say the du'a when you're waking up. This is how you would recommend learning it.
Right. So you know, listening to it over and over again, obviously, the audio component is very helpful to a person. Also, you know, to definitely learn the short ones first. There's no doubt about it. The ones that are easiest for you to memorize, then memorize those, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, typically when we pick up a du'a book and it says, Athkar al-Sabah al-Masa, which are the morning remembrances and the evening remembrances, what it will do is it will compile remembrances that the Prophet was heard making during the morning or during the evening. It does not mean that for all of those supplications, he made them every day, for example. And so you want to learn the ones that are shortest and the ones that are easiest, inshallah,
mm-hmm.
And the ones that you can sort of bring into your life and just perfect those, inshallah. Learn the meaning of them, memorize them, listen to them over and over again, and sort of start to do those on a daily basis, inshallah. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he says that remember Allah a little bit in the morning time, which is between the Fajr and the sunrise, and a little bit in the evening time, which is between Asr and Maghrib, وَشَيْءٌ مِنَ الدُّلْجَ, which means a little bit before Fajr, the last part of the night, which is basically Suhoor time. And he says, and be moderate and balanced, and you will reach your destination of Jannah. So those three times are the precious times. The time right after Fajr, from Fajr to sunrise, and then the time right between Asr and Maghrib, which is typically when a person's getting home or a person starts, you know, depending on their work, their job, right? And especially in Ramadan, a person is getting ready for iftar and so on and so forth. So it's really easy to remember Allah. And you kind of get two birds with one stone there. And this is the beautiful part of it, is that there are blessed times of the day, right, to remember Allah. The most blessed of them all is that time of suhoor. So if you manage to even say astaghfirullah once, it's the most blessed time of the night that a person will remember Allah. So there are blessed times of the day in and out of Ramadan. And then you have the blessing of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, the blessings that brings in and of itself. And then you have the blessings of being a fasting person, because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the supplication of the fasting person is accepted until he breaks his fast. And so all of these things are coming together, all these elements, to really make these super du'as, you know? And so they are so multiplied during this time. And that's why Imam Bukhari narrates from Az-Zuhri that one subhanallah, saying subhanallah one time in Ramadan, is equal to 1,000 times outside of Ramadan.
Mashallah.
Just being able to say subhanallah one time in Ramadan, it yields the reward of 1,000 subhanallahs outside of Ramadan. So it's such a beautiful opportunity to just learn some simple words that you can say throughout the day, inshallah, particularly looking at the times that the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to do them. And the beauty of fasting is that it forces us to structure our day around the salah.
That is beautiful, Sheikh. You've been listening to Heart and Soul. My sincere thanks to Sheikh Umar Suleiman, who will join me for more tips on fasting in Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum. The producer for this series is Ihab Al-Sheikh.